Brendan and I went up to Minnesota to visit our daughter, and was it white up there? Snowed just about every day, zero weather, so it's good to be back in the heat. It's not that warm here, but at least it's not zero. But we had a good time with our daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren. This morning, if you take your Bibles, we want to look into Matthew chapter 6 and the message title, Seeking God's Kingdom in the New Year. So this is the new year, and we do want to put our priorities in the right area of our life. And when we do that, everything else, according to this scripture I'll be reading, will fall in place where it should be, as long as we put God first. So if you'll follow along with me with verse 25, and I'll begin there. And this passage of scripture, according to the heading in my Bible, says this is a cure for anxiety. So if you had anxiety back in 2020, hopefully as we start this new year, we will learn more about how to put it behind us and press on to the mark of God, high calling of God in our lives, and put God first. And we do that, we don't have to worry at that point. Okay, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And he certainly does. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to your life? How many of us can do that? Can't do it. Actually, it's more harmful, and it can take away from your life by worrying. In verse 28, and why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, and he does. And he'll make sure you have those, our needs. Now, key verse right here. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Let me say that one again. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. And then in verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself, and it will, won't it? Each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you would agree with that? Amen. It does. So here we see Matthew putting in perspective why not to worry. And in verse 33 says, you know, the cure for anxiety is seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else, all things else, will fall in place where they ought to be. So, when we're thinking about 2020, we certainly had a lot to be concerned about and even anxious about. We all did. And in our text this morning, Jesus presented evidence that worry is irreverent, for it fails to believe that God is in control, that God who gave us life is sustaining it. God does sustain life, as our scripture just told us. Worry is irrelevant because it does not change things nor help us cope with problems. Actually, it makes things worse, doesn't it? My philosophy on that, or my spiritual insight on that, is don't worry about something until you have something to worry about. And I find that that works for me. And I try not to put myself in place of or worrying or being anxious about it as much as I am concerned about it and work through that with God's help. And it always has happened that way. So Jesus used the birds of the air to illustrate freedom from anxiety, the lilies of the fields to illustrate freedom from status seeking, and grass of the field to illustrate our need to assess our priorities. Those three things are found right here in this scripture. And Jesus admonishes in verse 27, if you see there, saying that worry cannot add anything to our life, yet it may limit it. So, seek first reveals Jesus' concern for priorities in our life. Seek first the kingdom, his kingdom, and righteousness. So he commands that our first priority is his kingdom and then his righteousness. See, Christ was a perfect example of that. He always sought righteousness, even though he was human but divine. He always found it, and he always strived and always did the righteousness in his life. So it's fairly easy to be a Christian in church, isn't it? We have on our best outlook, our best features, our best everything on us. But it's more difficult in places such as home or at the marketplace where we earn our wages. But God wants us to be Christians everywhere, and good Christians at that. That is his desire in our life. So it isn't easy, is it? But he gives us help that we need. You know, if we only will accept what he teaches us. So, here this morning in this passage scripture, I want us to walk through Jesus' teaching by using the following 6 points. And our first one is our focus. Our focus. We need to always focus on our priorities. See, this teaching defines three issues of in life. What are they? Shelter, our clothing, and our food. And these things loom large of importance. And we need these things, right? They are important to us. And the scripture says they are. But we spend at least half of our waking hours with involvement in these three things. Would you agree? At least half of our time. And probably more concern invested in these things than anything else. So therefore, we are prone to focus on them just like the lost world. People who has not even thought about putting Jesus first or seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So those who personally know God, and as we know God and understand His loving kindness, his faithfulness should not live with the same anxiety as those that do not know him personally. We shouldn't. We should actually set the example. Christians should set the example. Now, that's our focus. What about our choices in life? We have all kinds of opportunities to make good choices in life. And God wants us to make good choices. It's for our benefit that we make good choices. Jesus indicates that there are two priorities, option or directions on which we can focus our life. And first, it says, seek the kingdom and the righteousness of God as our goal. So, if you haven't set a goal this year, and a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to eat as much, or I'm not going to do this or that so much, and after the first month, you know, I'll forget this, right? Well, if you want to set a real goal, one that would be beneficial and a blessing to your life, enhance your life with Christ, seek first the kingdom and righteousness of God as your goal. And you'll find that you'll be blessed far beyond your imagination or comprehension. God wants to bless us. In general, we live life our way too many times. But we give ourselves the first priority in our life. So, as a result, we often go after the material things that appeal large in life. The material things. And they're important, again, as I say. And we sometimes give small attention to the spiritual things of our lives. So we expect that somehow spiritual things will take care of themselves. But if we do not nurture those in our life, it will not happen. It will not happen. Now, what about our goals? Our goals. Like the lost world, we can go after these other things. It's easy to do that if our mind is not set or focused on those things in our life, then it can lean in this direction of other things. So we can choose a place, the priority for our energies and our efforts in providing for ourselves. We can make our primary concern the physical necessities of life, like such as housing, food, and things. So if we make these things the goals for our life, they will move in the direction of material and earthly things. Or we can go after God's kingdom and righteousness. And these are the Christian priorities of priorities. The Christian priorities of priorities, a divine priority, and it's composed of two things. That's God's kingdom and God's righteousness, as verse 33 tells us. First, kingdom is that which recognizes and promotes his rule and reign. And oftentimes Jesus talked about establishing the kingdom when he was here on this earth. And the disciples often misunderstood what he was talking about. They thought it was going to happen right then. But the kingdom is still being established even as we are here today. God is adding to his kingdom day by day as people become a child of God. As they give their heart and life to Jesus Christ, then they are pursuing the kingdom of God in their life, not only in heaven one of these days, but here on earth. God is establishing his kingdom, and we will be a part of that one of these days eternally. And to seek first God's kingdom is to pour our lives into the eternal work of the Heavenly Father. And Paul talks about this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, how that the eternal work involves all of our lives and how he is working out his work in our lives. for his kingdom. Secondly, we are to seek his righteousness. And why does he say righteousness? First the kingdom, and then his righteousness. Righteousness that which is in accord with his character or Christ's likeness. We are to mimic that. We are to be like Christ, Christ's likeness. In Christ, he did everything to please the Heavenly Father. And that's why the Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased," when he was baptized. The Spirit of God came and rested upon his shoulders and said, "Behold, this is my Son, who I am well pleased." Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it is to have Jesus' own truth, his love and righteousness, which is manifested in our lives. And when we have that, it provides the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and rests upon our lives, and it teaches us. That's why Jesus said, "You know, I must go back to the Father. But the Holy Spirit will come and will teach you all the things that we have talked about, everything you have seen and witnessed. You will continue this work. You will have a greater work." And that greater work enhances our life as well as we continue to do as the Great Commission commands us and instructs us to do. So to summarize this, seek first God instead of things, the spiritual as opposed to the material, and the eternal instead of the earthly. And then we'll understand what it means first to seek the kingdom of God and then his righteousness. And then, what is our priorities? Have you ever thought about that? Did you give much thought to that when we started the new year, what your priorities are going to be? Many of them say, "I'm going to eat less. I'm going to do other things, and my priorities, I'm going to stick to that." Well, verse 13 kind of summarizes and tells us what we need to do. And I want to point out something else about verse 33. It doesn't teach that having or pursuing things is wrong. I want us to understand that's not wrong. Having things is not wrong. It is not wrong to go after other things. We do not need to spend all of our time and energy on the spiritual pursuits. Bible doesn't teach that. There is a difference between concern and focus, obsession or anxiety. Between our first priority and our responsibilities, Jesus says, just seek first. I've lost my screen for some reason, so it's not working right now. So, what Jesus is teaching is clearly established priorities in our life. That's what he was saying to us here. Let your first priority be following Christ. Jesus says, focus on your attention and hope on the things of the Lord. More or less saying, being consumed with the kingdom. Now, attaining. Verse 33 also includes this. That it is a conditional promise. First, we seek the kingdom, and then everything else falls in its place. And it's, as a Christian, we should best understand that if we do seek the kingdom and his righteousness and all the things that we know that we need, they will fall in place. God will make sure of that. That's why he used the examples of the birds and the grass and the fields and all in our clothing. When Jesus was sending the disciples out to witness and to share the gospel with all of those that they would be meeting, they begin to be talking among themselves, well, we got to do this, we got to get our clothing and all these things together. And God said, you know, that's going to take care of its place. Just focus on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every one of those disciples did not go without need. Their needs were met. The same as ours today. Our needs will always be met if we put God first in our life. Now, let's look at our daily life. The daily life. This word is for spiritual wise, for the spiritual wise. We must not expect God's specific blessing where He is not first in our life. He's not obligated if He's not first. So the first priority is our daily life. Our life today is not God's, if it's not God's kingdom or righteousness, it could explain some unproductive things that's going on in our life. God needs our priority. He needs our life. He needs our focus. And this concentration on doing God's will is a positive answer to worry. It is. It really is. The pharmacies, the doctors, hospitals, they would be looking for patients if people quit worrying. It would not be going so much because the physical things in life will weigh heavy upon us. If we feed ourselves with the spiritual things of God and understand, you know, life is tough, it's hard. There's suffering in this world. But God is always with us. And in conclusion, there's two simple rules should govern our life. Two simple rules. Set your eyes on the things that advances God's kingdom and contribute the establishment of His righteousness, and then go after those things. Make those your priorities. Make those your goals. Allow the Heavenly Father to keep His promises concerning the rest of your life in focus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will fall in place. And see, that is a promise. That is a sure, sure promise. And we can claim it. If you haven't already, claim it today. Because it is a sure promise. So what will be the first priority of your daily life? And then the rest remaining of your life. What is the priority it's going to be? For 2021, will you make seeking God first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Pretty simple. Not easy to do, but simple thought. If we would, whatever goes in our mind, it needs to wind up right here in the heart. If it just stays here, it'll never get down here. Our love for the Lord will help us in that area. So I would encourage you to make God's daily and eternal promises your blessing this morning. If you do, your life will be much, much different. So let's seek His loving kindness so that your priorities and your life will be different. 2021 than 2020. Too many distractions back in 2020, wasn't there? Too many. It's tough. It's hard. And circumstances sometimes alter our thinking. Because we do worry, as the scripture tells us. And every one of us here has been guilty of that at some point. I'm including myself. But if we, our priorities are in order with what the scriptures is telling us, and the scriptures tells us this for our own good. And we must decide, yes, I'm gonna lean towards scripture rather than the things that are touchable or are reachable, the things that look good. And again, those things are not wrong. We just need to get our priorities in the right order and put the kingdom of God in his righteousness first. And we'll see a difference. And remember, God is in control. He is in control. So, as the scripture says, do not worry. So, we know he's in control. We don't have to worry. He'll take care of all of those things. And those are part of the needs. He said everything else will fall in place. God is love. God is gracious. He is merciful. He is loving kindness. And the Hebrew nation, the children of Israel, knew that. That word, the Hebrew word for loving kindness is hesed. When that word was mentioned, they knew exactly what it meant and where their needs were coming from. God always provided for them. Wasn't all the things they wanted, but he provided them manna and water, and it sustained them. They could have had much, much more, but their life was wrapped up in complaining and disobedience and so forth. For us, we know those things, and for us, if we get our priorities in order, we'll understand what the blessings of God are. But his house is full of resources available to us, all by asking. We're willing to ask, he will give according to our need. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for the message. We thank you for your scripture. We thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us that we might have eternal life. Perfect example for us to follow, knowing where our priorities are and our goals, where everything falls in place. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, that special touch, that peace that you give us when we belong to you, when we are your children. Seeking you first, Lord, brings such a peace to our hearts. Then following and working out our salvation day by day, not being saved, but working out the deeds and the works that we are to do because of faith, helps us better understand our purpose and your will for our lives. As we close this service, this portion of it, and move towards our observance of Lord's Supper, Lord, we ask you to bless us on it as well. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to